This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Told as kids, it's not polite to talk about religion, sex, and politics at the dinner table, but at the open table, nothing is off limits.
And welcome to the open table. I'm Craig Brown. I'm hosting you at the open table today, and usually I have Ethan Kyoto Hall with me, but Ethan has had some sort of mysterious injury to his foot, which I've given him a week to come up with a really good story. So I'm being joined by a man, Latham.
Hello.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
Okay, how are you doing?
I'm pretty good, thank you.
And of course, the Open Table is coming to you from the lands of the traditional custodians of the Kulin Nations here in St Kilda. We pay our respects to their elders past, present and emerging, and to our rainbow mob. And our special guest with us today is that we've got another title holder. We've had Mr Universe on before, but we've got a little bit more local now. 2025 Laird Leatherman, BB, welcome to the show, BB.
Hello, thank you for having me, Kay.
Oh, absolute pleasure. As we say, it's always great to have a guest. It's a pretty long show if it's just me asking questions.
My pleasure to be here.
Great to have you here. Today we're focusing on a range of topics that we're going to be talking about, but one of them is about establishing community and feeling part of a community. So text us any tips that you have on meeting new people. Also about how you establish community and what community means to you. If you've missed any previous episodes, you can listen to the podcasts, which Latham used to do, and now the wonderful Michael does for us, and he's in Bali, the lucky thing.
Does them all the way from Bali.
Well, no, he's just in Bali this week. But you could do it. You could do it from
You can do it anywhere. You can do podcasting anywhere. From anywhere.
Yeah. And so you get the podcast from, you know, Apple or Spotify, or even go to joy.org.au/theopentable. So, but the open table is about talking to guests, talking to guests about important stuff that's been going on in their life. So, BB, we are now going to start talking to you. Very boring question to start off with, start the show. What is it you do? What do you do?
Well, my day job,
yeah,
I work in mental health.
Yep.
But I, like you said, am the current Laird Leatherman title holder. I do a lot of volunteering as well out of work.
Yep.
So that's basically my week.
That's your week. How do you squeeze it all into a week?
I'm very organized. Yeah. I have a calendar full of events and everything, even if I have to make a phone call, like we spoke the other day, I added my calendar.
That's good. So did I. So that was good because we both managed to do that. It was a busy week.
Yeah.
And what's your cultural religious background?
I grew up in Sri Lanka.
Yep.
I lived there for 30 something years.
Whereabouts in Sri Lanka?
I grew up in Negambo.
Yeah.
Which is,
did you like how I went, yep, as though I knew where that was? Sorry.
Most people know Negambo because that's just close to the airport. So everyone flies to Colombo.
Colombo,
has been to Negambo.
Yep.
But I lived in Colombo for 15, 20 years before I moved here.
Right.
So I grew up as a Buddhist with a very religious family, but do have stepmom and two brothers who are Catholic as well. And Negambo is predominantly Catholic town.
Okay. Because Catholicism is quite strong in Sri Lanka, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
Obviously, so is Buddhism.
But I believe I grew up, my younger days were basically refined by Buddhist values.
Okay.
So I'm more, I can relate to that more.
Yep. We haven't had a lot of people from a Buddhist background on the show. So what's the sort of practice that would define the week? Do you attend a temple at any point or...?
I am not practicing religious person at the moment, I believe, but I'm more spiritual.
Yes.
But I definitely think that my life is, the Buddhist values are in my life.
Yep.
And I'm used to those. And every day I think of those things, but I do not go to temples.
No.
I'm not practicing that way. Sri Lanka, again, most of the majority are Buddhist, but we do have Catholics, Christians, Hindu. There's a lot of Muslims. There's a lot of religious and cultural mix.
Yeah, so it's a melting pot.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's fascinating. And on the queer spectrum, where do you sort of fall in that rainbow sort of?
I identify myself as queer.
Yep.
Gay, queer, use both in a different way. I like the term queer because I think that is something that I used to learn to sort of reclaim that as a bunch of people. And I sort of have a pride in that as well. So predominantly, I would say I'm queer.
Okay, that's good. Excellent. So let's get on to some of the bit of the other questions we've got for you. Being gay / queer, when was your first realization that you weren't straight?
Well, I didn't know. I didn't have any exposure growing up.
Yeah.
So I was this confused child or a teenager, I believe. So when you don't have any exposure growing up for anything else other than what is being called normal or a heterosexual relationship, you don't know. So I think I sort of questioned myself throughout the time, but I was a late boomer. Yeah. I sort of like accepted all this in my 20s, I believe.
Right.
So even that was a journey, and it was sort of challenging to come to that point to understand, okay, you are different, but that is okay. And also to find people who understand that and to support that. That was challenging, but now looking back at that, I'm glad it happened that way as well because it helped me to grow as a person as well. Mm.
Was there a moment that you can remember that you go, oh, what I'm feeling, I've got an attraction here to men? Or
I did. But I'm not sure whether that was anything sexual or whether it was anything else. I was attracted to people in general.
Yeah.
And then I was sort of confused to see why I have certain attraction to men and women, or it didn't matter at that time.
Yeah.
So sort of curious about what was going on. To learn that it is okay and to learn that there are other people who feel that was a struggle.
Yeah.
Because I didn't have anyone to talk to about.
Yeah.
I didn't know anyone who sort of shared anything with me. So that was interesting. So looking back, I'm 40 now. Looking back at, you know, when I was a teenager, I can sort of reflect and think, oh my God, I had certain moments.
Yeah.
But I don't think I ever had a moment in my teenage years before 20 that I could think and say, oh my God, like I'm gay or I'm queer.
Yeah.
There was nothing like that.
There wasn't that sort of light bulb moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But now there were moments I felt attracted, but didn't do anything about it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you see someone online or you talk to someone and you have a natural attraction, but that's it. There's nothing else you can do about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we are going to go into our first song of tonight. This is The Edge of Glory. You chose this one by Gaga. Any particular reason you just love it? Or
I love Lady Gaga, I think.
You going to the concert?
I am going to the concert.
Which one, Friday or Saturday?
I think Friday.
Oh, I'll see you there.
Are you now a poor by the millions of dollars?
Hey, you could get good standing room tickets.
For about $450,000?
No. Shout out to my friend who bought a ticket for me when I was in Sri Lanka.
Oh, so that is a good friend.
Yeah.
That is a good friend.
So I haven't paid him yet, but yes.
If you're listening out there, you can text BB on
what's your friend saying? You have a free Gaga.
949.
Free Gaga tickets from
Pelly.
Oh, well done, Pelly. You're looking forward to it?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. That is one person I wanted to go and see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been 11 years, I think, or something like that.
Well, I wasn't in the country at that time.
Well, I wasn't gay. So this is our first time so we can enjoy it.
Let's have fun.
Let's have fun. So you're saying when you were in Sri Lanka that you didn't really have any role models about what it was like to be other than heterosexual.
Growing up, yes. Yeah. I think that was a part of the entire challenges and issues I had growing up, and especially as a teenager when you're discovering all these things. I did not have anyone to talk or to even look up to, aspire to at that time.
Yeah.
I was this very...
And the internet, not how accessible...
I'm talking about 90s.
Yeah, I was just trying to go 40 backwards. Yeah, and so we're talking late 90s.
Internet has changed things, but that's for me after 2000.
Yeah.
That is like I'm a late teenager at that time. But again, I was this person, I was this, you know, teenager who was very committed to study or do things. We played outside. We did things outside. Yeah. We didn't have mobile phones.
Yeah.
So the life was different. And I had a close group of friends. We were very busy doing things. And yeah, the life was just that, very simple as that time. And I'm happy about it now, looking back. But when I sort of realized that there's a lot of things going on in my head and started reaching out to people and making friends, then I met a lot of people who supported me and helped me grow.
Yeah.
But it took years and years of work. Again, before 20s, before I was 20 or when I was a teenager, there was no one. It was a very different world.
And so one of the questions we ask on the show, and I've learned over the last two seasons, is that it's not the same for everybody. We often talk about how did you come out? And like in a Western sort of setting, that's usually, you know, you reach a certain age, you realize and you announce it and it's okay.
Yeah.
Or it's not, as the case may be. But for you, growing up in Sri Lanka, as you've just been describing, that's not sounding like that was a straightforward thing for you at all.
It wasn't. Mainly because I did not have that as a concept. So coming out was not a concept that I was familiar with. And also there were a lot of things going on, family issues and issues around my mental health or trying to study. There's a lot of things going on. So you have to focus on that first before anything else.
Yes.
And again, like I said, when you don't know that concept, and when you are struggling to accept yourself and sort of be okay with it and spend all your energy on that, that's all what matters. So all what happened to me was it took years for me to accept myself and understand what I sort of think. But it was evolving as well. The more I get older, I realize I like this, I like that, I don't like this, that.
Mm.
And experiment things as well.
Yeah.
And then it became much easier to just be comfortable with it. And then when I had a boyfriend, I would introduce them to my friends. Or when I was going through a breakup, I just sort of mentioned that to my friends that I'm going through a breakup with a guy.
Yeah.
This is it. So it naturally happened, but it was never a big come out or it was never needed as well.
Yeah.
One for me, again, there was no time or place for it.
Mm.
And also partially I think that it needs to happen on your own way, your own style, rather than doing it for someone else.
Yeah.
Doing it for something else or for some other reason. And also I don't think that I felt comfortable sharing my personal life with anyone else other than people who would understand that.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was a part of it as well. So again, I have come out to the people I'm close to in a very personal way, but that again, directly introducing them or mentioning the situation to them, but I never had the need of or felt the need of coming out to everyone.
Yeah, so there wasn't a big post.
Nothing.
On social media or something like that, or standing up in a dramatic way.
No. Again, like I said, accepting myself and that journey took so much energy and time, and I was happy with that.
Yeah.
There's nothing else matters at that time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's the important work, isn't it? The internal work that goes on.
Yeah. I think I learned the hard way that the more you accept yourself, everything, like you know, how you look or how you feel about things, that makes you much comfortable and it doesn't matter what other people think or other people say.
Yeah.
But I think there was a time that there is a time that you need other people to be there for you to know that they support you, you know. Yeah. So I think that was the important thing around it, and to have a support network around you. And fortunately, even though I didn't have role models growing up, I had a support network all the time in my life, in different places, different cities, or different countries. And that was enough.
Yeah. Was there ever a time that you felt stressed about sort of what you were experiencing on the inside and what was going on the outside?
All the time.
All the time.
For different reasons.
Yeah, yeah.
I think naturally I have issues around anxiety, around a lot of things as well. And I think part of that is because being confused or failing to understand the feelings or emotions around how I felt as a teenager or later. So that all sort of made me stressed all the time. But also in Sri Lanka especially, the social pressure, you don't understand how stressful that is until you don't have it.
Okay. And the social pressure is to be
married. Yeah. Why
have
don't
kids?
You have a girlfriend? Mm. Why are you not having kids? Everything. Everything. I did not know how much that was affecting my life until I moved to Australia and until people never asked the question.
I know, yeah.
You go to work, you go and see new people, you go to a pub. No one asks you whether you're married or not.
No, there's not an elderly auntie in the office going, when are you going to get married?
See, so the funny thing about that is I didn't even know that I was so stressed about it.
Okay.
Or that was a part of my life, a big part of my life, day-to-day life. I did not know that until I moved here and then realized no one asked me that question.
Yeah.
How good that is.
Yeah. It's really interesting. You have to be taken outside of your own culture in a way to experience what it is like.
When you grow up into something, that's all you know.
Yeah.
And your behaviors and attitudes are all shaped by that.
Mm.
So you can't blame anyone to sort of believing something if that's the only thing they know. But once you take out of that, once you take yourself out of that box and experience something else, that opens up everything. And for me, the biggest thing was to learn how comfortable it is to be in a social environment or go outside and meet new people, go to work without worrying about having to answer any personal questions.
Yeah. Do you find that Australians are a bit more reserved in that sort of way? I mean, that's a very generalization. It's an absolute generalization.
I don't want to generalize, but my personal experience is people mind their own business.
Yeah.
And people do not try to get involved in anyone else's personal business.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate that.
Yeah. To a certain extent.
Yes.
Because I guess we can generalize more about culture than we could about individuals. That the Australian, she'll be right, mate, sort of attitude of just let things go.
Yeah. But I think people do not assume, maybe I'm wrong. I'm talking about the people I've met.
Yeah, yeah. And we can only talk from experience.
Yeah, exactly. But I think people didn't want to assume and say something and think that it's right. For example, people don't ask me about a girlfriend or whether I'm married or I have kids.
Yeah.
They would ask that casually most of the time.
Yes.
So I've had very good experiences in that sense.
Yeah. That's great. When did you come to Australia?
I moved here in 2017.
Okay.
I was first in Darwin for a few years. I loved it.
Yeah.
I think coming from a tropical place like Sri Lanka, moving into Darwin was easier. And that was an easier transition for me. And then I could access everywhere else from Darwin.
Yeah. Were you working in mental health in Darwin?
No, I was actually working in employment services.
Darwin, a very transient sort of community.
Darwin is very transient. And I believe everyone I know, except for one or two, have left already. I remember telling my family that it looks like part of Sri Lanka to me. The trees look the same. The the dirt and the roads and everything looks the same as some of the places, maybe not Colombo, but, you know, rural Sri Lanka.
Yeah.
It was very sort of a familiar place.
And did you get around to Kakadu? And
I did.
Yeah.
I did. So I was volunteering there as well, like I always do.
What were you volunteering as?
I was volunteering with Northern Territory AIDS and Hepatitis Council.
Okay.
For a few years there. I was in their board for 2 years. And also volunteering with Darwin Pride for a bit.
Okay.
A lot of other things as well.
So I'm gathering by the time you hit Darwin, you were very comfortable in yourself and expressing your sexuality as just a part of life.
Yeah, I was comfortable when I was leaving Sri Lanka as well. I think I was 31 at that time and much more comfortable about life and myself. But I think even in Sri Lanka, I was doing a lot of extra things and volunteering, a lot of things. But I think going to a new place where you don't know anyone and where you don't have any family or friends, it just gives you a different opportunity, I believe.
It's a new chance,
you know?
Isn't
it? You can't just be whoever you are.
Yeah, there's no backstory.
Yeah, exactly.
There's no reputation.
Yeah. It can be a challenge, but also I thought of that as an opportunity. And it worked well for me. I loved it.
And then 4 years later, I believe, you turn up in probably what is the extreme opposite of Darwin.
Yeah.
Which is Melbourne.
Yeah.
What was Melbourne like when you started living here? Because you came just after the lockdowns. So.
I came here early 2021. Mm. So I had like a good few months just to enjoy Melbourne. But then 2021 lockdowns.
Yeah, that was horrible.
I was stuck.
Yeah.
So I won't lie, there was a moment I felt whether I did the right thing when I was stuck in an apartment.
Yeah, that's right.
Didn't know anyone within 5 kilometer radius. Yeah.
We've got a text message that's come in. Craig's hot. Okay, there we go again. That's great. No. BB, this is from someone I can't see a name.
There is no name. It's anonymous.
Okay. Maybe they're saying that they know exactly what you're talking about, how you realize how much easier it is when you leave that culture of social pressures. You can exhale and just enjoy your life. So
yeah, I think I met a lot of people who feel the same, especially people who come from very strict religious backgrounds. Yeah. So in general, South Asian region, we experience that.
Yeah, because there's a very tight family bond and there's pressures that come with that in terms of marriage, etc.
Yeah, I think I have a lot of empathy around families as well because my parents' generation do not know anything other than what they think is normal.
Yes.
And anything other than that is not normal for them.
And they have lived through such an extraordinary amount of change.
Yeah.
They're just that adaptation that they're going through is amazing.
Yeah.
So, that they've had to adapt.
Yeah, I think we need to acknowledge that and understand that as well. So it's not just we would just be whoever we are just because we want, but we need to understand that, you know, how do we communicate that and sort of make our families understand that as well. So it's a journey for me as well.
Yeah.
It's not easy.
Yeah. It's not just all about our telling. It's about how we help people listen, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
But also, I think having conversations with family is a challenge personally for me as well, because I think not having those conversations is much easier.
Yeah.
So we sort of can respect and not have certain conversations as well. But also, I think at some point, having certain conversations are important, but I really want to understand how they would navigate through those conversations as well.
Yeah,
it's a challenge. It's a work in progress at the moment.
Yeah.
For most of us, I believe.
I think we're all works in progress. Yeah. And speaking of works in progress, you know, 4 years after moving to Melbourne, you're the 2025 Laird Leatherman.
Yeah.
How? Well, okay, tell me, what is that? How did that happen?
Well, I realized.
Oh, sorry. Like, first of all, the lead for those who are outside of Melbourne. We should break all this down, shouldn't we? So the lead?
Yeah. So lead is an institution. I don't know who doesn't know about lead if you're in Melbourne and if you're in gay or queer or fetish community. And lead was known to me even before I moved in
here as well.
And one of the reasons I wanted to sort of live where I live is because I could access to the places in Northside, including lead. So my first introduction to lead 4 years ago, as in on a regular basis, is because I want that to be my local place to go to and meet people there. Mainly because I sort of realized at some point that I'm into these different fetishes and kinks or different things. I wanted to experiment. And then I met people who are into that. Mm. And I think that changed everything.
Yeah.
It's one thing to sort of like something or fetishize something or have a preference. But also when you meet people to talk about it and find some community around that, your bond becomes stronger.
Yeah.
So Laird was a place for me. And Laird and the people there whom I've met has been amazing to me so far. So like years ago, I was this person who didn't know a single person and walked in, was scared, didn't know anyone. I had to like, you know, be someone to be there all the time to go, as in I wanted to make sure that there's someone I know there.
Yes.
So when I'm there, I'm not by myself. Things change.
Yes.
So after 4 years, now I entered the competition and I won and I'm really happy about that. It sort of changed my life in a way that I felt more stable and accepted by the community. But also I think, you know, when you move countries and cities for a while and try to live in a place, you want to build a community, you want to meet people, and I want to feel stable and have a sense of belonging in a place.
Yeah,
I think all this, what happened for the last few years, has given me that.
And how does one become the Laird Leatherman? Is it a vote? Is it?
That's a competition, and there's a panel of judges.
Okay.
So,
is there a swimsuit competition?
Jockstrap round. They have a few different rounds, and then there's an interview round as well. They look for, I believe, someone who has, you know, certain values associated with the community and Laird. And it's not just the looks, but also attitudes and values and what you bring to the community as well. Because at the end of the day, you're representing a venue and a community, and you have to have certain values aligned to do that.
Bibi, whilst we've got a little bit of time left, and you've kindly agreed off air to come back next week, because we've got a lot more to talk about in terms of, and I really do want to get into what leather is like, because I think people just think that's a sexual fetish, but there's more to it than that, isn't
there? There is definitely more to it. It's, of course, can consider as a fetish, and most of the people are, and people who are into leather fetishize that. That is the... But also being a part of leather subculture is more than that.
Mm.
You find your people, you find your community, and also you have certain values that you are aligned.
Yeah.
But also it's important to understand the history around that as well, because the leather subculture and people who are into that, they represent the misfits and the rebels and historically reclaim the masculinity, which was not sort of associated with queer identity at that time. Things have changed, of course, now, but that's the history, and sort of understand that.
Because back in the 1800s, for instance, gay men would have been very effeminate. It was seen as effeminate, not masculine at all.
Yeah, so like we're talking about like, you know, around Second World War, so it's not too, you know, that far. But
dandies and that sort of thing.
Yeah. I think it's around... sort of not just it as a sexual fetish thing, but also to understand that there's more to it. And also for me personally, it's about around fetish or kinks and how you navigate through that, but to connect and find your people, and that's more important.
Mm.
you can be a leather person and you can identify that in different ways, and things have changed over the time. I also understand that it's important to understand the history and the traditions and, you know, how things have come.
Yeah.
But also find your own way around anything. So you could be into any, you know, leather or rubber or anything, but also you could be into multiple things. You want to experiment things. My sort of platform around this year as the layered leather man as well, to sort of make sure that I have these conversations with people and to bring my experiences and values as a person of color and not a, as a person who wasn't born here and new to this community. How do I navigate through this journey and have conversations around that? And that makes it more than a fetish.
Yeah.
Because it's being a part of a community and having certain values and wanting to give back to a community that gives you, you know, a chosen family or anything.
Yeah.
But again, personally, I think that's all part of me, you know, being queer, being a person of color, into leather, into so many other things that I might not talk publicly, for an example.
Well, that's right, but you can't be labeled just as one thing.
Yeah. I think, of course, for me personally, there are a lot of things that I like. It could be in bed or out of bed or in life in general. But what changed for me with leather is that I found people who are there for me and supporting me and sort of made me feel home in Melbourne. And that made me grow more into this whole thing.
Mm.
And that is personal to me, but someone else's journey might be totally different.
Yeah. But that sounds like that's that chosen family for you.
Yeah.
And that's really important. And we really will get into that next week, because I think that is a huge... I do really want to have that conversation about community and what it's like. You know, we talked on the phone earlier in the week, and you were saying, as somebody coming from Sri Lanka and then from Darwin into Melbourne, so you have to create community. And to a lesser extent, somebody like me who came out late in life, you have to find that community again. So, but you have listened to the show, so you know what's coming up next. You know what's happening now, and it's the reading of Jesus at the Gay Bar. So I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah, I was looking forward to this actually. So
good. Yeah. Well, you go for it.
Jesus at the Gay Bar. He's here in the midst of it, right at the center of the dance floor. Robes hitched up to his knees to make it easy to spin. At some point in the evening, a boy will touch the hem of his robe and beg to be healed, beg to be anything other than this. And he will reach his arms out, sweat damp and weary from tans. He'll cup this boy's face in his hand and say, "My beautiful child, there is nothing in the heart of yours that ever needs to be healed."
Mm. What does that mean for you?
It's all about self-acceptance for me. Mm. I think if we can be happy and accept who we are, most of these issues we have in this world won't be there. Personally, I think that was the biggest challenge I had for me. The more I accept myself, the life gets better. That's what I've realized.
And that whole, you know, just circling back to that conversation we had about coming out, it's not so much about being loved and accepted by others, but being loved and accepted.
I think that's
by
the
yourself.
Start.
Yeah.
And then everything will happen. Yeah. Or you can, even if someone doesn't like you or don't, you know, if someone don't love you back, as long as you love yourself, I think you can navigate through that.
You
can't
move
expect
on.
Everyone to love us.
No,
you know?
No. It can't be everybody's cup of tea.
Yeah, I'm not an ice cream, so no.
No. It has been, thank you, Latham, for stepping in at very short notice. And Ethan, we do hope you get better. So, Latham, I've really appreciated
No, my pleasure. It's been great to be with you and BB tonight.
And Bibi, you've been such a good guest that we've wrangled you to come back. We had a conversation about this at the Laird. And we had actually had a phone call, and he said he wanted to come on the show, and I said, well, no, I need to vet you first, and that was great.
Amazing.
Yep. So I'm glad, and we've had a few conversations since, so I'm glad you're on, and I'm glad you enjoyed it enough that
you're contemplating
coming back. Of course, you may wake up tomorrow morning and go, no, I don't want to, and I fully respect that as well.
Thanks. It's
been a pleasure.
It's been great having you. Have a great night, and have a great week, everybody.
Thank you for listening to The Open Table here on Joy. If you missed part of the conversation or want to catch more, find the podcast at joy.org.au/theopentable.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.